Reading from the Book of Wisdom. I wished, and understanding was given me. And I called, and the Spirit of Wisdom came upon me. And I preferred her before kingdoms and thrones, and esteemed riches nothing in comparison of her. Neither did I compare unto her any precious stone, for all gold in comparison of her is as a little sand, and silver in respect to her shall be counted as clay. I loved her above health and beauty, and chose to have her instead of light, for her light cannot be put out. Now all good things came to me together with her, and innumerable riches through her hands, and I rejoiced in them all. For this wisdom went before me, and I knew not that she was the mother of them all, which I have learned without guile, and communicate without envy, and the riches I hide not. For she is an infinite treasure to men, which they that use become the friends of God, being commended for the gifts of discipline. And from the Holy Gospel according to Saint Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt lose its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing anymore, but to be cast out and to be trodden on by men. You are the light of the world. A city seated on the mountain cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but upon a candlestick, that it may shine to all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For amen, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not pass of the law, till all be fulfilled. He therefore that shall break one of these least commandments, and shall so teach men, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But he that shall do and teach, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Today we celebrate the apparition of the first apparition of Our Blessed Lady at Fatima to the three children. Today, in the traditional rite, we celebrate the feast of Saint Robert Bellarmine, who was one of the great doctors of the Church at a critical time in its history. The Church has perhaps had three great periods of distress. The first certainly was that of the Arian heresy, where the priest Arius denied the divinity of our Lord. Arius claimed that Christ was but a creature, the first creature, the greatest creature that God had ever created. On this teaching, the whole Church could have founded, but our Lord had promised that the gates of hell would not prevail. And so God raised up Athanasius, that great bishop of Alexandria, who fought with all of his strength and all of his life to affirm, to assert, and to teach the certainty of the divinity of Christ, that he is consubstantial with the Father. The second great conflict that the Church had was that of the Protestant Revolution in the 16th century. This period of turmoil for the Church was such that every doctrine was challenged. And in fact, the very nature of the Church was at stake. Was revelation a matter of authority, that which has been delivered to us by God, or was it subjective, what we want to believe? This was what was at stake. Religion could either be given to us by God, in which case we difficult as it is, we accept and obey, or it could be what we feel to be right. And so, in effect, it was saying that we are God and we can determine where truth lies, what is good and what is evil, that ancient temptation from the garden. And today we have the third great turmoil, trouble, disturbance within the church, where there is confusion at all levels. And it's in the midst of this that our Blessed Lady appeared on the 13th of May. Appearing to three children, she told them, in fact, when she appeared, the children were so amazed that Lucia said, "Where are you from?" To which our Blessed Lady said, "From heaven." And so this, in fact, is the first thing that we have to hold fast. She comes from heaven and she came to our world in our time, 107 years ago. Will we also go to heaven? The children are very wise. This is a fundamental question, a basic question. Will we go to heaven? And Our Lady responded, yes. But she also said they'd have to pray much. They asked about their friends. What about Maria? They never, she is in heaven, said Our Lady. That is a consolation for us. But what about Amelia? She will be in purgatory till the end of time. This, when we think about it, is a consolation and yet at the same time a sadness. It's a consolation because at least she is destined for heaven. A sadness because her journey is still prolonged and delayed. And why should she, a young girl, be in 1917? Why should she be in purgatory till the end of time? What sin did she possibly commit? Well, we need to remember that it is not the sin, but rather our reaction, our relationship with the sin. We are all surrounded, St. Paul tells us, we are surrounded by sin. We fall into sin. In fact, St. Paul complains, the good I want to do is what I cannot do. The evil I want to avoid is the very thing that I do. Who can save me? And so when we sin, our immediate response should be one of repentance, it's sorrow for it. And it doesn't matter how many times we're sorry. The point is we should be sorry. This is what our Lord responded to Peter. How many times must I forgive my brother if he offend me? 7? No, 70 times 7, said the Lord. So if the Lord commands us to continue to forgive, surely he would set the example and he would always forgive us. So the onus is on us, the burden is on us to be sorry for what we have done. And in that way, we will escape hell. For Our Lady did show the children the vision of hell. She didn't show them heaven, nor did she show them purgatory, but she showed them hell to show the absolute horror of those who go to that place. Our Lady also asked the children for a favor. Will you accept all the sufferings God will choose to send you in his mercy for the salvation of sinners? And the children responded, we will. And surely this is a message for our time. When we see so many sins so boldly committed, utter defiance of the law of God, will we accept the sufferings that God chooses to send us in his mercy for the salvation of sinners? We also ought to respond, yes, we will. Because this is why our Blessed Lady came. And so in the reading for the feast of Saint Robert, we heard how Solomon, who is writing about the most important thing that we should have in this world. What is it? I wished, I prayed, and understanding was given me. Understanding, this is the first thing. But understanding itself depends on something else. I called out, and the spirit of wisdom came upon me. And this is what we should ask for, wisdom. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we stand halfway between the Ascension and the Pentecost. And we are making the novena to the Holy Spirit. So we ask for that gift of wisdom. Wisdom enables us to see what is the purpose of our life, that we are destined for heaven, and that we should strive with all our hearts, our strength, to attain that end. Understanding shows us the manner in which we are able to attain the end. And so the Solomon prays, he wished, he wanted understanding, and he received it, he wanted wisdom, and that was given to him. And so he begins by telling us everything, all good things come with wisdom. She doesn't come alone. She's the mother of all things that are good. And the fruit is eventually that we become friends of God. Wisdom is also described in other ways. In the gospel, we heard how wisdom is described by our blessed Lord himself, who is the wisdom of God. He said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." And salt is a symbol of wisdom. You are the salt of the earth. Not of this town or these towns or these cities or even this nation, but of all nations, of the earth. And what does salt do? In fact, our Lord tells us, if salt loses its savor, of what use is it? How can it be made salty again? It is good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden underfoot by men. So salt then is a symbol for wisdom. What does salt do? It does two things. It adds savor to what we eat. It makes unpleasant things pleasurable. And secondly, it preserves from corruption. It stops meat, for instance, from spoiling. And the Lord calls his disciples exactly this. So by their teaching, they will, in fact, make the commandments of God sweeter to embrace, to understand, to grasp, to live. By their teaching, they will also preserve that which is corrupt. They will, because Christ himself will restore that which is corrupt, but they will preserve it and keep it fresh. Salt also represents the Holy Spirit. Well, in two ways. One, that salt has the power of causing fire to flame up. So if we put salt in the flame, it will blaze out. And at the same time, when you put salt in water, it dissolves. But if we think about it, isn't this the action of the Holy Spirit who came down as tongues of fire? And yet at the same time, he is that dew, because the power of the Holy Spirit, when we have been anointed with the Spirit, he dissolves and makes us pleasant to all things so that we can live our Christian life with courage. But the other gifts of the Holy Spirit are also important, that of fortitude, because fortitude means that we're able to embrace difficult things and we're able, for love of God, to persevere to the end, that we are not cowards that run away. Salt does other things as well. We need to remember that it's biting, that if we put it on the wound, it stings, it burns, yet at the same time it cures the wound. And in that sense, salt represents truth, because sometimes, often, the truth is unpalatable, it is difficult to accept. When it's spoken, it causes enmity and anger. That is, among those who do not have goodwill. And so, again, salt, it represents truth. And truth itself is related to wisdom, because truth is a person, Christ Jesus our Lord. And so in today's world, where there is not only absence of truth, but actually enmity towards the truth, to speak the truth today is in fact to be accused of hating. But quite the contrary, to speak the truth is loving, because in speaking the truth, we point the way to eternal life. That surely is loving. Not to speak the truth, to hide the truth, is quite the contrary. To hide the truth, in fact, is to hate and to wish the destruction of those who could have been saved. St. Robert Bellarmine lived at a very difficult time in the church, that second period in which the church was much convulsed. He, born of noble family, showed the exceptional talent and became a Jesuit priest because of his gifts. He was also involved in teaching. In fact, he taught at what is today the Gregorian University. It was a Roman college at the time. He was chosen to be bishop, archbishop, and his work was essentially to restore his diocese. But even so, he was involved in a lot of polemical work, in as much as he answered the heresies of the time, and he did much to reconcile those who had fallen into heresy back to the church. He could have been a pope. In fact, at the, I think it was Marcellus, Pope Marcellus, when he died, the Count of Olivares wrote to King Philip of Spain and said, this man should not be pope. His only interest is the good of the church. He will not consider the politics of kings, and therefore he should be obstructed. He was not elected pope, but there were three or four other conclaves after that. And again, although he got some votes, not sufficient to become pope, but this time it was because the cardinals thought that he, being a Jesuit, would be unsuitable for as a successor of St. Peter. And of course, there was this fear that he would have only the good of souls as his concern. And so today, we who are involved in the pro-life apostolate, we who support Family Life International, we ought to take these as examples. St. Robert Bellarmine, whose only concern was the good of the church, the salvation of souls. We listen also to our Blessed Lady at Fatima, and we see the weakness. We do not have the power to fight the evils all around us. At least we don't have it individually, but we can, listening to Our Lady, accept the difficulties, the trials, the sufferings. God, in His mercy, will send us and use it for the salvation of souls, for the promotion of the work of Family Life International, and for the saving of the lives of many children who are destined for heaven, but above all, for the salvation of sinners. Our Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.